Okay, I guess I'll take the mic. I don't see anybody else grabbing it. If you want it, Dove, let me know. Yes. Oh, he does want it. Okay, so here's Dove.
Okay, I just wanted to say that 1 hour from now, Regia Joy and Suzette Boulay will be on 1 hour from now from Question America Society, and invite everyone to stay for the next hour following Regina. Thank you so much, Cheryl. Wonderful teaching. Regina, the mic is all yours.
Okay, hi everyone. Happy Sunday. I kind of took a day off today. I came back and I noticed I have dozens upon dozens of emails, so I wanted to let you know that they're not going to get answered today. I work a lot. I'm sure you guys know that I work a lot. Yesterday I worked a 12-hour day, and today I just thought, you know what, I need a day off. So I haven't sat down at my computer until now. I think I made a quick post on Facebook this morning, was all saying that I was going to two churches today, but you know, we went to Mass, and then we went to the Center for Inner Peace, and then we went out to lunch, and then we took Jamie to the lake, and it's, you know, 66 degrees here, it's a beautiful day, and we just took the day off. So I'll get to y'all's emails tomorrow. But what we are here for now is Holy Spirit guides, and actually what we're going to be looking at is the second part of the code. And I do notice some people in the room that were not here next week, and last week, and I even notice people who I have no idea if you even know what I'm talking about when I say the code. So I will begin with a little review. And then we will jump into the message. I'm giving you a link to the message just now, but I think right after I did that, Jill popped in. So let me go ahead and give you a link to the message again. There you are, the message, the code. Before I even get into the review, I think I'd like to start with a prayer. So if y'all would join me for that, I would appreciate it. Holy Spirit, I want to say thank you for everything. Today I am wearing a shirt. It was a gift from Lisa Hansen. But the shirt says, loving what is. A couple of days ago I was reading in a book where someone asked Ramana Maharshi, what is God? And he answered, God is what is. Holy Spirit, our judging mind can be so unhappy. It can really believe that things are wrong and they need to be different than they are. But what I am seeing now through my own experience is that that is only a misperception. That joy is all around us, just waiting for us to accept what is. To love what is, to enjoy what is, to have gratitude for what is. It is such a simple answer, and yet I understand that it's not. I understand that based on where we may be now, it may seem like things should definitely be different. And I understand again that that is a misperception. Spirit, I want to say thank you so much for everything. If we are not able to love what is, let us use what is for healing. Let us use what is to discover the judgments in our mind, to discover how our own mind is creating our suffering, so that we can choose again. Thank you for everything. Amen. All right, I open my eyes and I see, win a free AT&T 4G cell phone. I don't need one. Okay. So again, happy Sunday. And as I said, we're here for the second part of the code. And I mentioned that there are people in the room who I think probably don't even know what the code is. So let me start with a bit of a review and then we will dive in, because I know that there are others who do know what the code is, who are here for the first part of the teaching, who have even discussed the teaching with me in the last week and are fully ready to move forward. The code is a message that came to me when I was in relationship with Laurent, and it came to me during a time when I really hated him. At least that was my perception. I really hated him. I hated a lot of things about him. And what had happened was the hate had become the strongest feeling of hate that I felt, at least in this lifetime, the strongest feeling of hate that I have any remembrance of feeling. And the hate had become so strong in me that I couldn't take it anymore. You know, there really are levels of hate that we're willing to accept. It crossed the line. It crossed the line. The hate was unbearable for me. So what I wanted to be was free of hate. And I think it was that desire to just to be free of hate that led to this message coming. I told the story last week that I was actually in church, and right in the middle of church, I received a prompt to go outside, which is something that had never happened before, but it was very clear and very strong. So I got up and when I went outside, and then when I went outside, I was guided to go to my car and get my notebook and then to set outside. And that's when the message of the code came. And as I mentioned last week, when the code first came, I had so much resistance that although I sat there on that bench and I wrote it all down, as soon as the message stopped, I wanted to rip it up into a million pieces and throw it away. So my resistance was very strong. Fortunately, I did not do that, because this message has been one of the most helpful things that I have ever received. Because what this message did is it taught me how I got myself into that heightened state of hate, how I had put myself into this unbearable state of hate. And then it also showed me how to guide myself out again. It showed me exactly what I needed to do to back out of that situation and move into a state of peace. And in fact, by the time I finished practicing the code, I got to tell you that not only did I stop hating Laurent, but I actually stopped believing in hate altogether. I came to see through my practice of the code that hate is artificial. And you know, this is what we learn through A Course in Miracles when it tells us things like only love is real. But as you can imagine, it's completely different to learn that through your own experience. I learned that hate is artificial. Hate is not real. And the only way that we can experience hate is to make it with our own mind. And that the more we make it and the more we make it, the more we experience it. But the only reason we're experiencing it is because we are making it. And that if we learn how we make it, and then we choose to let go of making it, it dies. Because it was never real in the first place. And what's amazing about when it dies, and I am speaking from experience, is that it dies. It's not, you know, it's not just Laurent that I don't hate. It's everyone and everything. Hate, for me, died. It died because I saw that it was artificial, and I knew I did not want it anymore. You know, it always reminds me of A Course in Miracles, the workbook lesson that says, to say you want the peace of God is nothing. To mean it is everything. That's what really happened to me when the message of the code came. I had reached such a strong threshold of hate that the hate itself was so painful to me that I finally wanted peace. More than I wanted Laurent to change. You see, when we have these lower levels of hate, when we have these bearable levels of hate, when we can still live with our hate, the thought is, I want that person to change, right? So if I hate Laurent because he, you know, is not as clean as I am in the house, then the thought is, I want him to become cleaner. If I hate Laurent because he spends more money than I do, the thought is I want him to spend less money. I want him to be more frugal, right? But when we get to where we really cannot tolerate the hate, all we want is to be free of the hate. It's no longer about my brother changing. It's about being free. That's actually a different motive. Truly wanting to be free is a completely different motive. And that's what happened to me. I truly wanted to be free. And the message of the code taught me how, and because I was highly motivated, I practiced with great vigilance, and I became free. So, hopefully that piqued your interest and made you want to listen. What I'm going to do is give the link again. I can see that actually several people have popped into the room since I gave it last time. And we're going to review by me just starting at the beginning and reading through and maybe making a couple of comments along the way. But I won't I won't start full teaching until we get to where I left off, or else this is just going to be a review of last week. I mean, a complete repeat. But anybody who wants to listen to last week's recording, it is available on reginadonacres.com. It is available on the page called Holy Spirit Guides Week 71 Plus, and it's called The Code Part 1. Also, I did have a request that I'm going to try to remember to honor. Someone told me, you know, some of us are listening on the radio, and when you post the link in the room, we can't see it, so would you please read it to us? So for those of you on the radio, the link, in case you want to get the message and pull it up, is reginadonacres.com/P=623. Again, it's reginadonacres.com/P=623. You can also find it by going to reginadonacres.com, you know, just clicking in the search box and typing the code. All right? Okay. Can we go to the site with a date? Yeah, but I don't know the date, because once I get into the message, I can't see the date. I would have to back all the way out to see the date. And so you could, except I don't know the date. All right. So here we go. I'm going to begin reading. By the way, I'm not good at watching the board while I'm reading. So so lots of times people type things thinking I see. Oh, somebody else has the date. Very good. They have October 3rd, 2007. Thank you. All right. So I'm going to start reading just from the top. Here we go. The code is ideas. Just as all things within illusion are ideas. The code can be seen as specific manifestations in form, can be felt as feelings, or can be heard as thoughts. So, hello, Laurent, welcome. So, when Holy Spirit talks about the code, he's referring to these things that I can touch, right, like this desk. He's referring to my emotions, my feelings. He's referring to my thought. He's referring to anything that I can perceive. That is the code. And the symbol, the code, comes from the movie The Matrix, by the way. The best way to look at the code is as a potential driver of experience. I say it is a potential driver of experience because code will only drive your experience if you fully believe the code. Even if you let go of your belief in the code partially, it no longer has full influence over you. The code can only drive your experience to the degree that you believe the code. So again, other words, if I totally believe what I'm seeing with my eyes, what I'm hearing with my ears, what I'm, you know, thinking in my mind, what I'm feeling in my body, the emotions, right? If I totally believe that, then my experience is going to come from that. I'm going to have whatever experience the code is attempting to give me. But if I learn to back off from that and not fully believe it, I will have a different experience. Okay, so continuing with the second paragraph. The code comes from you. All of you as you perceive yourself now, but that is you. So we perceive ourselves as many different bodies. Holy Spirit perceives us as one. So when he says you in this message, he's not talking to Regina, the scribe who was writing this down. He's talking to all of us as one. You know? The code comes from you. All of you as you perceive yourself now, but that is you. The code that most directly influences you in the experience as an individual is the code that most directly comes from you. But all code influences upon each other so that no true separation in code can be determined. It is really important to accept that there is no separation and that this is always true and always reflected within the code. What he's really saying is that my perceptions, my experience affects the overall. Your perceptions, your experience affect the overall. And we get the same teaching from the Course in Miracles workbook, right? That I do not experience the, I don't remember the exact lesson, maybe some of you do. I do not experience the effects of my thoughts alone. I think that's the lesson, something very similar to that. It's the same teaching here. I do not experience the effects of my thoughts alone. We're all in this together. As one. Next paragraph. The code makes illusion. As long as you experience any degree of illusion, you experience the code. What he's referring to here is what A Course in Miracles would call the real world is still a dream, right? It's not reality, it's still a dream. So as long as you experience any degree of illusion, even if you are coming into the happy dream, you are actually still experiencing the code. And you always experience the totality of the code, although the code can be experienced differently. This is because the code is a layered code, and the layers are different vibrational levels of the same basic code. Add that to the phenomenon of individual scripted interpretation, and the code seems to have a myriad of different angles, but it is all one code. Well, certainly we have heard that the script is written. And, you know, I think many people have kind of questioned, how can it be that the script is written and yet the teachings still teach me that I have a choice? The teachings still teach me that I can delay. The teachings still teach me that I can have, you know, one experience or another experience. And what this is really saying is the code, or the script would be another language for this, the code actually has many different layers to it. There's not just one way to experience it. So it is true that the, quote, script is written, and it is true that we have choice. It's not an either or. There is both, and we're going to talk more about that in this message. We talked more about that last week. And in fact, our choice actually really affects how we experience the code itself. So our choice has a lot to do with our experience. This is the responsibility for sight section in A Course in Miracles, right? I am responsible for what I see, for what I feel, right? Say this and you'll be free. Okay, so the next paragraph, and again, for those of you who are joining, we're just kind of quickly reviewing what we went over last week. Individual scripted interpretation also comes from the code. This facet of the code comes into the mind as your thoughts, your feelings, and your reactions. It is an interpretation of shared events, and your reaction or belief about individual interpreted code adds to the overall writing of total code and total experience. Okay, what this is literally saying is that the thoughts that come into my mind that I may perceive as my thoughts, my thinking, this is saying that is not true. The thoughts that come into the mind that you perceive as your thoughts are coming from the code. It's more like a script. It's like you're being fed a script. And the script that is coming to you is coming from the whole. The whole is the author, right? And you are receiving your little part. This is really helpful if you accept this, because it will allow you to depersonalize the thoughts themselves. You'll have a totally different experience when you're able to look at the thoughts in your mind as the code that's just coming into your mind. It'll be a completely different experience than if you look at these as my thoughts. a completely different experience. And what Spirit is telling us here is that the truth is they are not your thoughts, they are code. It's code that's coming into your mind. Spirit is also telling you that, you know, because of what you are, because you are creator, right, the way you choose to experience the code when it comes into your mind goes into writing overall code. In other words, if a thought comes into my mind, you know, I hate it when Laurent does XXX, right? If I fully believe that thought, that energy or that vibration of believing that thought does two things. One, it creates my current experience. And two, it goes into writing the possibilities for the next moment's experience. So the next moment comes from the current moment. If a thought comes into my mind, you know, I hate Laurent because of XXX, and I choose to step back and look at that and say, wait a minute, that's code. You know, that's code, and that's a piece of code I don't really want to believe. You can see how that's going to rewrite another set of possibilities for the next moment. So the same code came into my mind in both cases, right? The code that came in, boom, I hate Laurent because. I can't do anything about that. You understand? That was just fed into the mind. That current moment has already been written from past perceptions. I can't change that. I cannot change that, nor am I guilty for that. It's just the code. But I can, right now, look at it and make a choice about how I want to perceive that piece of code that I've received. And how I perceive it is a part of writing the next set of possibilities. So my perception, my chosen perception, is really very important, not only for myself, and right now I'm talking small self, my seeming individual self, but also for the whole. Because, you know, Laurent and I together, we're both going to have one experience or another based on what I choose, also based on what he chooses. But if either one of us chooses differently, the set of possibilities that are presented to both of us change. You know, we're both affected by the choices that we make. So it's really pretty powerful. And in fact, it's actually quite exciting. It's actually quite exciting if you are willing to embrace this as the answer, if you're absolutely ready to be free. This can be quite exciting because it begins to change everything. So again, individual scripted interpretation also comes from the code, and that comes into your mind as thoughts, feelings, and reactions. You can't do anything about the thoughts, feelings, and reactions that come. What you can do is choose how you will perceive those thoughts, feelings, and reactions when they come, and that makes a difference. So the next paragraph, with that said... Here is your only responsibility as long as you seem to be in a body within a world. Again, your only responsibility. It reminds me very much of A Course in Miracles. The miracle worker's only responsibility is to accept the atonement for himself. This is really the same teaching. With that said, here is your only responsibility as long as you seem to be in a body within a world. Your influence on the total comes from your interpretation of the code, which you then relive as individual interpreted code, or you choose not to relive through recognition of your creative ability. What he's saying in that sentence is when the line comes into your mind, you know, I hate so-and-so for this reason, or I'm afraid of this experience for this reason, you either choose to completely believe that and have that experience, or you choose not to. Remembering that the code is just code, and that you know your next set of experiences is going to come from the choice you make now, right? So you either remember your creative ability and you choose to back off from believing the code, or you don't remember your creative ability and you fall hook, line, and sinker for the code once again. Your influence on the total comes from your interpretation of the code, which you then relive as individual interpreted code, or you choose not to relive through recognition of your creative ability. At some level, you must recognize your power to change the code, or you remain trapped within the belief and acceptance of the code as real. The only way to be released from the code as you write it is to recognize your freedom and choose to write different code. Now, he will be more clear on this as we go later in the message, but I want to be very, very clear right now because this is a place where the ego wants us to get confused, and so we do. When he's talking about rewriting the code, he's not talking about, for example, rewriting the experience of form. For example, if I hate Laurent in this moment because he's buying expensive water, rewriting the code does not mean somehow changing it so that Laurent will not buy expensive water anymore. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about changing the script in that way. What he's talking about is choosing my perception so that when the thought comes into my mind, I hate Laurent because he's buying expensive water. What I can do is look at that thought and say, wait a minute, this is code. And I can remember that what I want is to be free of hate. And I can remember that this code is actually driving me towards the experience of hate. And that if I fall for this code, I'm going to keep right on doing to myself what I've been doing. But if I can back off and see it as just code, I'm going to have a different experience. Different experience, rewriting code. Do you see how that works? It doesn't mean I changed Laurent, but I'm going to have a different experience. That code was a driver for experience of hate. Because I was able to look at that, I was able to realize that, and I was able to also realize I don't want an experience of hate. I was able to depersonalize the code, no longer see it as my thought. I was able to make a different choice, and now I am going to have a different experience. Laurent may go right on buying expensive water. I'm still not going to have the hate experience that I was headed for. That is rewriting code. So we're not necessarily talking about changing form here, although form can change. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about our experience. And our experience is in no way dependent on form changing. All right, so I'm going on to the next paragraph, which begins with "in its most basic element." In its most basic element, individual interpreted code comes into the mind as a thought, feeling, or reaction to the overall illusory code. It is a part of the total, but it is a part that makes the total. So it is as significant as the overall code. So again, when the code comes into your mind or your experience, it comes in primarily as a thought, as a feeling, or as a reaction. And one thing that's really helpful to remember about the current moment's code is that it is already written. It's already written. And it's going to happen so fast that you'll see that you can't change it. So let's say for a moment that I'm really not very experienced yet at the code. I'm just beginning. So I still am having the strong, strong experience of hate. I actually don't remember acting like this with Laurent, what I'm going to say next, but let's just pretend like I did, okay? let's say that Laurent comes to the door with his expensive water once again, and I'm still believing hate, you know? I grab one of those bottles of water, and I throw it down on the ground, okay? That's an automatic reaction. I grabbed one of those bottles of water and I threw it down on the ground. That is done. That is done. It's over. What I now have is a choice on how to perceive that piece of code that I just experienced. And this is where we have so much trouble. Because what we want to do is we want to judge ourselves, right? We want to judge ourselves, or we want to keep right on and throw more bottles of water. But in that moment, when I grab that bottle of water and I throw it down on the ground, I can actually look at that and I can say, that was code. That was code. That reaction came from code. And I can recommit in my heart in that moment at being much, much, much more vigilant at watching the code as it comes in. Because do you know where that action came from when I grabbed that bottle of water and I threw it on the ground? That came from sitting around for the last hour, the last day, the last week, thinking about how I hated Laurent buying expensive water. And if I had been able to look at the code much earlier, right, if we could rewind, if I was able to look at the code much earlier and see these thoughts coming into my mind and saying, this is just code, and putting it aside, this is just code, I never would have gotten to the point where I threw the water down. But because I am just beginning with the code, right, and I didn't know any better, I did go through this last week of hating Laurent for buying expensive water. And it came to a point where this automatic reaction came from my last week of listening to these thoughts. But the nice thing, and this is where we have a lot of trouble, but I'm not lying at all. The nice thing is my reaction. Again, I didn't actually ever do this. Laurent and I didn't act this way with each other, but I know that people have these types of reactions, so I want to go here. The reaction of grabbing the bottle and throwing it down on the ground is physical enough to wake me up in that moment if I'm at all ready. So these extreme reactions that come out of us, we blow up and yell at someone, we blow up and say something mean, you know, whatever we do, these blow-ups can be magnificent, wonderful moments. Because they wake us up. They say, oh my God. If you have this education, you can say, oh my God. Look how much I've not been watching my mind. And we can change right then. We can make an inner commitment right then that I'm going to start watching my mind before it gets to this level again. So one thing we really want to remember about the code, whether it gets that extreme, more extreme, or less extreme. The thing we want to remember about the code is these automatic reactions, these thoughts that come into our mind, these feelings that show up lightning fast, are pre-written and we can't change them. They're over before you even noticed it happened. The thought was in your mind, boom. It didn't knock at the door and say, hey, do you want me to come into the mind? Boom, it came in. You had the thought of, hey, I hate him. Ooh, it's over, right? That the feeling of hate or the feeling of fear came over you so fast you didn't even notice it was there. Boom, you can't change that. So to judge ourselves for these automatic reactions, these automatic thoughts, these automatic emotions that are a part of the code is just not helpful. What is helpful is to look at what just happened, look at that code, and recognize that's code. That's code. And that code comes from me not being vigilant and making an inner commitment to become more vigilant. Okay, so in its most basic element, individual interpreted code comes into the mind as a thought, a feeling, or reaction to the overall illusory code. It is a part of the total. But it is a part that makes the total, so it is as significant as the overall code. All right, continuing. And now we're getting into new material, by the way. You are to be aware of your individual interpreted code. And you are to measure that code against the idea of your true desire. When the code is aligned with the idea, you re-accept that code into the mind. This feeds into the total code. It affects the overall, and it affects your evolving individual interpretation. This was the last paragraph that we read last week, if I remember correctly. What Spirit is talking about here, the code is not just what we call ego in our Course in Miracles language. The code would include Holy Spirit. All right? The code is both ego and Holy Spirit. So what this is saying is that when a thought comes into the mind, for example, what I am to do is to look at that thought and literally discern or judge that thought against my true desire. My true desire being at this point specifically to be free of hate, permanently and forever free of hate. We could say our true desire is to know the peace of God. We could say our true desire is to know thy capital S self. We could say our true desire is to know only love, right? It's somewhere along those lines. So when a thought comes into my mind, what I'm to do is I'm to look at that and I'm really to ask, is this aligned with my true desire? So if my thought, my very specific goal at this time, remember, was to be free of hate, be completely free of it. So if the thought comes into the mind that I hate Laurent because, it's not rocket science to look at that thought and say, this is not aligned with my goal. It is not rocket science. It's not rocket science. It's only a matter of how much I'm ready for my goal. It's a matter of willingness. But you don't have to be the smartest person on the planet Earth to figure this stuff out. You just have to want it. And I did. I really wanted it. So the thought comes into my mind, I hate Laurent because. I look right at that thought and I say, but what I want is to be free of hate. This thought is not aligned with my purpose. And I let go of the thought solely because it's not aligned with my purpose. Now, this is another place where people get stuck, because people still have this belief that the form has to change. Now, the interesting thing about the stories that were going on at this time is the stories about why I, quote, hated Laurent, is that you could say there was proof in form. You know, like he was buying expensive water, for example. You know, he was, you know, like I said, not as clean as I was around the house. He was staying up all night and sleeping very late into the day. These were the things that my mind was telling me I hated about him. He was doing these things. So when the thought came into my mind that said, I hate Laurent because, I couldn't argue with the thought at the level of form. I couldn't say, oh, but he doesn't really buy expensive water, because I'd get home and notice he'd gone and bought expensive water while I was gone, right? That didn't work. The only thing that was going to allow me to let go of that thought was wanting the peace of God, or the way I worded it then, wanting to be free of hate. It had nothing to do with Laurent. Literally, this was all about me. I've heard the term divine selfishness. That's what we could talk about here. This was all about me wanting to be free, and all about me realizing that the reason I wasn't free is because I continually believed these hate thoughts, and they were driving my experience, what the first paragraph said. And if I wanted to be free of that experience, I could not continue to allow these thoughts. So when the thought came into my mind, I hate Laurent because, right, I needed to look at that thought and not say, is it true or not true that he does this? I needed to look at that thought and say simply, is that thought aligned with my purpose? Do you see how that's different? Is this thought aligned with my purpose? No. Then I need to choose not to accept this thought, to put this thought aside, to realize this is not a thought I want. Now, if another thought comes into my mind, let's say Laurent walks through the door with a, you know, a case of expensive water, and the thought comes into my mind, breathe. Wait a minute. Now, is that thought aligned with my purpose? Actually, at that point, that thought may have been very aligned with my purpose. That thought was telling me to step back, not go into the automatic reactions. Breathe, right? Breathe. Pause. That's a thought, then, I choose to listen to. This is what we call discernment. So I look at thoughts when they come into my mind. The only question, not is this true or false in form, that's irrelevant. The only question is this thought aligned with my purpose or not? If it is aligned with my purpose, I totally accept it, I follow it, I do what it says. If it's not aligned with my purpose, I let it go based on that fact. Now, I'll tell you a funny little story. During this time, I received guidance to join the gym. I actually received the guidance three times before I took it seriously. And the third time was so funny. My neighbor across the street, for some reason, I mean, this is so bizarre. I'd already received the guidance twice, and I kind of blew it off because I judged it as not the type of guidance that Holy Spirit would give. So the third time the guidance came, the way it happened is my neighbor came over to my door in her dripping wet swimsuit. In her swimsuit, I've never seen her do this. This is a, you know, a 46-year-old woman. She doesn't walk around the neighborhood in a dripping wet swimsuit. She came over in her dripping wet swimsuit and asked me if I'd ever been to the Y. I was like, I think I'm supposed to join the gym. That was like the third piece of guidance in a row, and that was the one that hit me over the head. So I joined the gym, you know, and I didn't know why I was joining the gym, of course. But I'll tell you what happened is that I had gotten myself so worked up with my hate thoughts that, to be honest, I was in a state where it was very difficult to step back and look at them and practice the code. And I know that there are people in the room now who are at that same level, because I've talked to some of you in the past week. So I know that you hear the code, you hear the logic of the code, but it's very difficult for you to step back at the current experience of hate that you're at and look at those thoughts. They come in and you fall for them, right? They come in and you fall for them, and you do it over and over and over again. I was in that same place. So as it turned out, I went and joined this gym. But what I found was when I got on the treadmill and I started running, and I guess it's the endorphins, is that what it is? Yeah, the endorphins kicked in. Somehow, once the endorphins kicked in, something changed where I was able to look at those thoughts in a different way. And I could jog on that treadmill and watch these thoughts come in, and I could practice the code. I could say, that's a hate thought. I mean, I could do this. That's a hate thought. I am not interested in hate thoughts. I choose not to listen to that thought. Boom, here comes another one. That's a hate thought. I have no interest in hate thoughts anymore. And I could do it when I was jogging. That's why I joined the gym. I did the majority of my practice of the code in the beginning while jogging. Now, what happened as I got better and better is I didn't need that anymore. Then I could practice it, you know, in the house, you know, even while having a conversation with Laurence. Like, I could practice it, you would say, live. But in the beginning, I was so caught up in the experience of hate that I needed that other location and those endorphins, I think. So that's how I got started, by jogging. And the truth is, after I was done with the code, the whole gym thing just kind of fell away. I quit going again. But it was very helpful during this period of time. So, you are to be aware of your individual interpreted code, and you are to measure that code against the idea of your true desire. When the code is aligned with the idea, right, you reaccept that code into the mind. So when it's something that's aligned with your goal, you listen to it. But when the code, when the code is aligned with the idea, you reaccept that code into the mind. That feeds into the total code. It affects the overall, and it affects your evolving individual interpretation. Now, the next paragraph. If the code, as it is received, is not aligned with true desire, it is time to recognize yourself as creator and edit the code. Editing of code is making a change, so that the code, as it was received, is not the idea accepted into the mind as true. In other words, you do not feed the unaligned idea back into the total code of the world. Or said another way, the idea is not shared into the mind that is the sonship. So what Spirit is saying here is that, you know, if the thought comes into the mind, I hate Laurent because... And I look at that and I say, wait a minute, that is not aligned with my purpose. And I choose not to believe that. I've taken out one little bit of hate. I've released one little bit of hate from our entire mind. I've freed all of us. I've freed all of us in that decision. If the thought comes into my mind, I hate Laurent because I hate him. And, you know, I go off on that. I've fed that right back into our entire mind. We all get a piece of that. So I'm really being what we would call a miracle worker here. I'm really being a miracle worker when I'm choosing to look at these thoughts and to let go of, not believe, not follow any thought that is not aligned with my purpose. I'm being a miracle worker because I'm removing that piece, that energy, that vibration, that from the entire mind. It's being released instead of refed. It's either refed or released. Those are the options. So this is how we are truly miracle workers. It's going to affect my individual experience, but it's also going to affect the whole. It's going to affect the entire future and all of the possibilities that are not yet determined. It's absolutely amazing. Let's go on to the next paragraph. To not reshare an idea, in order to do this, you must recognize your power. You must step into your power and choose to be the role of source or creator instead of playing victim to your thoughts. Accepting that code comes to you through your previous interpretation is accepting responsibility for the code. So this is, like I said, if I had gotten to the point where I had taken one of Laurent's bottles of water and threw it down, right? I could look at that and say, wait a minute. This reaction, this automatic piece of code just came because I've spent the last week thinking about how much I hated him for buying this water. I can take responsibility. I can see why this occurred. Right? It's not his fault for buying the water. It's my fault for thinking these thoughts for the last week. That's what led to this automatic reaction. That's accepting responsibility. And that can be done without guilt. That can be done with what I call enlightenment. Because when it's done with enlightenment, it's more of an, oh, I see, right? Like a discovery. Oh, I see. And now I know what I can do differently. There's no judgment in it whatsoever. It's pure enlightenment. So to not reshare an idea, you must recognize your power. You must step into your power and choose to be the role of source or creator instead of playing victim to your thoughts. I'm not a victim to the thought that just came into my mind. The thought that just came into my mind because it's a part of the code that I helped write through all of my previous choices, all of my previous perceptions, right? Accepting that code comes to you through your previous interpretation is accepting responsibility for the code. This acceptance may seem easy or strained. You may accept the idea of creator with joy or with great resistance. The time it seems to take to accept responsibility for the code will vary based on your basic reaction. Do not judge yourself for the ease or challenge of accepting responsibility for the code. Rest, relax, and be patient. Accepting responsibility is key. So no matter how long the time is very well spent. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit here and I'm going to tell you guys that I wanted this so bad that within 3 days I started practicing this message. And literally within weeks, the hate was beginning to die. I'm also going to tell you that it seems to be completely dead for me now. It was very fast. What this paragraph is saying to you is that your experience may be different. It's telling you that there may be more resistance in your mind. In other words, it's possible you aren't hurting yet as bad as I was. You know, like I said, my hate was hurting me so much that I absolutely needed to be free of it. I couldn't tolerate it. So you may be bothered by your hate, but you may also still be resistant to fully accepting that your experience is only coming from you. There may be a part of your mind, possibly even a big part of your mind, that still wants to believe the other person or the outer circumstances to blame. If that's true, you aren't fully ready yet. What Spirit is saying is do not judge yourself for not being fully ready. Why? Well, to judge yourself for not being fully ready is a perception that you have chosen. It's an ego perception. And an ego perception is going to lead to more ego code. To say, I'm not ready. I can feel this. I'm not ready to say that this is all me. I'm not ready. And to say that without any judgment at all is a different chosen perception. And it's actually going to lead to a different experience for you. And it's going to lead to a different vibration of code. You know, one thing that I have learned is that judgment is never helpful. Accepting what is, no matter how, quote, bad or difficult it seems, is always a better choice. Accepting your current state of mind, no matter how screwed up you perceive yourself to be, is better than judging yourself for your current state of mind. Rest, relax, and be patient. That is Holy Spirit's guidance. Rest, relax, and be patient. And you know what? That choosing that perception is going to help you to be ready faster than choosing to judge yourself for not being ready. You're actually taking more responsibility than you think you are if you're able to say to yourself, I'm just not ready to accept that yet. Because you know what? You're admitting that there's something there to accept. You're more ready than you think you are. So don't judge yourself. If you're listening to this, if you're considering this as a possibility at all, you're probably more ready than you judge yourself to be. So rest, relax, and be patient. Let this teaching marinate in the back of your mind. The time will come when you will say, I want to be free. And what you mean by that is, I'm willing to do this work and not blame anyone or anything for my experience. And again, Spirit says, accepting this responsibility is key. So no matter how long the time, no matter how long it takes, the time is very well spent. Waiting for your readiness, instead of judging yourself, is time well spent. And in fact, I'm waiting now for my next readiness. Not even certain I know exactly what it is, but I know that I'm waiting. I can feel that I'm waiting. My guidance for the last several weeks has been wait for it. Wait for it. So I'm waiting. Waiting for your readiness is actually time well spent. All right, next paragraph. Accepting responsibility for the code and accepting or allowing your reaction to it is different than re-accepting the code into the mind. Okay, this is very, very, very important. It's really what I'm just talking about, but worth repeating. You know, if I grab that bottle of water and throw it on the ground in a moment of anger, right? Accepting my reaction, accepting that my reaction came from the fact that I sat and thought these thoughts for the last week, is completely different than believing the code and continuing to think that Laurent is guilty and he shouldn't buy expensive water. It's a completely different reaction, and therefore it's going to lead to a completely different future effect, a different set of possibilities, a different layer within the code. It doesn't matter how, quote, bad my automatic reaction was. It doesn't matter how mean or vicious I appeared to be in that moment. Acceptance of that, an acceptance of my responsibility in that, is always the most helpful choice. Accepting responsibility for the code and accepting or allowing your reaction to it is different than re-accepting the code into the mind. When you step into your power as creator and choose to accept responsibility, including choosing to accept the effects of the code as you previously interpreted it, you are also choosing not to re-accept the code. Right? Because if I'm saying I know where this anger came from, it came from me listening to these thoughts for the last week, that's completely different than saying I know where this anger came from, it's Laurent. Right? It's a completely different perspective. It's a completely different perspective, and therefore it's going to lead to a completely different result. When you step into your power as creator and choose to accept responsibility, including choosing to accept the effects of the code as you previously interpret it, you are also choosing not to reaccept the code. If you were reaccepting the same code into the mind, you would not be pausing to see that this line of code need not be. You would not recognize your power. You would not be aware that there is another way to see. So whenever you pause to look at the code, you are changing the code by shifting to another vibrational level. Whenever you pause to look at it, you're changing it. Whenever you pause to look at it, you're doing something different than you would have done if you'd just gone right on with your, you know, fear story, or right on with your anger story, or right on with your hate story. You know what this reminds me of is the movie Next. Have you seen the movie Next? If not, you might want to watch it, because both one of the opening lines and the closing line is actually this same teaching. The line is, if you look at the future, you change it. If you look at it, you change it. Well, in this way, we're saying if you look at the current moment, if you look at the code, you change it. Looking at it is different than believing it and acting it out and fully experiencing it. Looking at it is different. Looking at it is moving you towards healing. It's going to shift you to another vibrational level. Now, Spirit says, it is true that this is not a true edit of the code. The symbol of editing is useful, but at the level of individual, that power does not exist. Again, I'm not trying to change Laurent. I'm not trying to say, okay, if I accept this... he will stop buying the water, right? And we fall into that trap. I laugh, but you guys know as well as I do, if I accept that I don't have money, then I will get money. If I accept my illness, it will go away. Right? We have those thoughts. Now, the truth is sometimes that happens, but sometimes that doesn't. The individual alone is not where the code is coming from. The code is coming from a totality. So when the individual changes their perception, the code is going to change somehow. But specifically how cannot be determined. So I'm not trying to change my mind so that I can change Laurent. I'm not trying to change my mind so that the disease will go away. I'm not trying to change my mind so the money will start pouring in. I have no idea how the overall code will be affected when I change my mind. I only know that it will. Taking my ego out of it is always going to be helpful. Exactly how it's helpful, well, that remains to be seen. But I'm not looking for a specific change in form. I'm only looking for the peace of God, to know thyself, to be only love, to have a happy experience, to be joy, to be free. That can be my only motive. So it is true that it is not a true edit of the code. The symbol of editing is useful, but It is true that this is not a true edit of the code. The symbol of editing is useful, but at the level of individual, that power does not exist. Remember, the total layered code comes from the totality. So by choosing another way to see, you are choosing to shift vibrationally to another layer of the same basic code. Every option is already written, but the option you choose affects the overall writing of every layer of code. Experience is different than reality, and to try to reconcile the two through intellect is an impossibility. But reality and its effect on experience is understood through non-intellect. It cannot be put into words, but it can be seen, and it can be seen clearly. Still, when it is seen from a perspective that isn't totality, since the individual interpretation always applies. Individual interpretation is your freedom, and your freedom combined with the totality of all creates the unlimited potential that is God. So what this last paragraph is basically saying is, do not try to understand this message intellectually. Do not try to figure out with the mind, the thinking mind, how changing your perception is going to change the code. What the effects will be. If two or three people think this way, what's the difference between if I can get 100 people to think this way? That's not your purpose. And in fact, Jesus is very clear about that in A Course in Miracles when he asks us not to consciously choose miracles, right? When he asks us to be miracle ready, but not to consciously choose them. Different words, but the same thing here. Our only responsibility is to choose our perception, our current perception of the code. Our responsibility is to practice discernment in our mind. Is this thought in alignment with my purpose? If not, I let it go. If it is, I keep it. That's all I do. The effect of that, the results of that, are not my business, nor are they for me to try to figure out, or to try to predict, or to try to control. It's not up to me to look at a situation and to decide that situation needs to change, and the way I'll change it is with my mind. My purpose is simply to watch my mind and to always choose the highest perception that is offered to me in the moment. Through that, things will change. That's it. Now, I only have 1 minute left, so in 1 minute what I will tell you is two things happened in my relationship with Laurent as I continued to practice the code. One, my experience of hate became weaker and weaker. The thoughts became easier and easier to not accept, right? It became weaker and weaker. In some things, like over time, in some things he did change, and in others he didn't. And in the end, it didn't matter at all, because I just loved him fully exactly as he was, as he is. I became free of my need for him to be different. That's what this is all about. Okay, that's it for me. I love you all, and I will see you next week. Bye.